So, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 121. Psalm 121, and I want to take the liberty this morning to read the entire psalm. It's only 8 verses. And then also this morning, I want to read verse number 2 of Psalm 123. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, staying focused. I feel like there's a great need that all of us stay focused. I believe we need to keep our eyes in the right direction, that we need to focus on that which really matters the most. And during these stressful, difficult times, I just want to be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to all of us today. Psalm 121, beginning at verse 1. And before I read, I might mention this. I sit down today, got on the computer, and actually put into print much that I'm going to be preaching about here this morning. I wanted to make that available, so we did put this on, post this on Facebook this morning. And from time to time, as you well know, I do that. And I've taken all of my little quote-unquote political messages off of there, and I'm kind of readjusting my sights a little bit too. Not that I won't do that in the future, but right now I'm wanting us all to refocus and think a little bit differently now that it is what it is. Now look at Psalm 121, please. The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Excuse me. Sorry about that. From which cometh my help. I just can't help it. From time to time I get thinking about how good the Bible is and how good God is and how relevant the message of Scripture is to our needs, and I just get a little bit beside myself. I guess it's maybe old age setting in, but whatever it is, I'm glad that God can touch our hearts. Let me keep reading, all right? I lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. Y'all pray for me. I look at verse number 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 123, verse number 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of the precious word of God, and the Bible certainly gets a hold of our hearts. And Lord, from time to time, we cannot help but become emotional as we think of how relevant and practical and desperately needed the word of God is. And especially, Father, at this time where many of us are bewildered and confused and disturbed and upset by the development of things. But yet this morning I pray that you will help us all to, as we draw attention to the scriptures and focus upon the resources that are available, I pray today that you might just help us all who love this country, who want the best for it, and desire that it go forward, but help us, Lord, as Christian people especially, to realize that we have absolutely got to focus our attention on that which matters the most. So, Father, bless us now and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I do not have to tell you this morning. It's certainly not an understatement at all, and it's certainly not something that we don't already know, but I would like to begin today by simply saying that these are unsettling times, and many are consumed, many of us are consumed with the goings on that has taken place or has been taking place or is taking place in politics. It seems that there's an outward overload, you might say, of depressing news and the uncertainty in terms of the direction of our country. We anticipate, most of us, if not all of us, anticipate damaging fallout from the divisions of our country and the agendas of the corrupt politicians. But we must remember something. We must remember that the people of God stand on different turf, and the people of God march to a different drumbeat. We've got to absolutely remember that. It's also good to remember that historically, governments of man have been tainted by incompetent leaders and imperfect governments. It's been this way since the beginning of time. It's been this way since the fall of man. Historically, biblically, we find that constantly throughout the history of mankind, there have been foul governments and people have had to suffer. While the unjust are not immune from certain blessings because it does rain on the just and the unjust alike, I would say that while the unjust are not immune from certain blessings, the just are not immune from suffering. We need to remember two things. Christians suffer around this world because of corrupt governments. And the closer that we get to the sounding of the trumpet, we can expect more spiritual erosion to occur. We may as well just accept that. These are truly times that try men's soul. These are times that the people of God need to readjust their focus and realize that our hope in peace is still sustained today the way it's always been sustained. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We must always realize that. Our hope and our help in the risen Lord who conquered death, hell, and the grave. We've just read Psalm 121. And I cannot read it as you've seen. At least this morning, I have a hard time reading it without being touched by the way it starts. Because it seems like there is a tendency today for far too many of us to be looking in the wrong directions. It seems that there is a tendency on the part of good-meaning Christians, I'm talking about many Christians who are very spiritual, to still get sidetracked by looking at all of the goings-on that's been taking place in our own government, and especially this week, the way things have gone down. The people of God cannot afford to not stay focused upon the Lord. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Songwriter put it right, didn't he? I think of Jehoshaphat the king in the book of 2 Chronicles. After hearing that the Moabites and the Ammonites were conspiring to attack Israel or Judah, he turned to the Lord for help. He knew who the enemy was. He saw what needed to be done. He had his eyes on the one who offered the best help. I think of what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And here is a part of that verse that I fell in love with many years ago. The last part of this verse. I want to put some heavy emphasis on it this morning. It ends this way. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. I'll tell you, my friend, you'll not find a more timely statement than that statement right there in this day and time. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. To be quite honest with you, I don't know what to do. I don't think you know what to do when it comes to affecting the way things have happened this week. We don't know what to do, but thank God we know who to look to. We can do very little, it seems, with our hands, but we can do a whole lot with our eyes or our heart. It seems like we can't function too well with our feet and with our hands, but we can still look to the Lord. And that's what this verse tells us. You know, we're told also in that great chapter that Jehoshaphat, he set himself to seek the Lord, the Bible says. Verse number 21. This means he committed himself to hearing what God had to say. That's what it means. He set himself to seek the Lord. He wanted to hear what God had to say. And I think we need to do that too. God reminded the king that the battle was not his, but the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle. Thank God today, it's the Lord's battle. The next thing Jehoshaphat did was to have the people of Judah to seek help from the Lord. That's verse number 4, 2 Chronicles. And by the way, that's what preachers have to do. That's what we gospel preachers have to do in our churches. We need to have people, to encourage people to seek the Lord. We need to encourage our flocks, our local churches. We need to encourage the people that you and I, all of us together, need to seek the Lord. Because, quite frankly, when there is a decline in our spiritual health, then there's going to be a decline in every other way. When things are not quite what they ought to be, vertical, then things are not going to be very good horizontally. We must always maintain good communication, be in good terms, be in fellowship with the God of heaven. We need to constantly be pulling resources from the Lord. I've said many times, it's like canning vegetables for winter. We prepare ahead of time for the cold days, for the dark days. We prepare ahead of time. God's people need to always be preparing ahead of time for events that come up. And quite frankly, I know this church pretty well, and I feel like that I'm in sync with all of your feelings today in this church. There's probably not a single one of us today, but we were knocked down a few notches this past week, weren't we? I mean, you know, the article I put on the, I'm going to put this on the Facebook, one of the dear ladies that made the comment, she said, our hearts are heavy. And our hearts are heavy. So you see, this is where we go. This is what we do. We prepare ahead of time. We love our Lord. We stay in fellowship with Him. We maintain a good prayer life. We keep drawing from the Word of God. And then when these tough times come, then we can better bear the pressures and the stresses, because when our eyes and our minds are set upon eternal things, we realize that everything that's happening on this earth is but transitional and momentary anyway compared to eternity. Amen. We've got to always keep that in mind. There are two things in these passages that I would present to our thinking. There are two things that I see, and I want to share them with you. Two great truths. Number one, God is not asleep. Number two, we need to be looking to Him. I can put it like this. God is wakeful. God is wakeful. Behold, He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is wakeful And then number two, we need to be watchful. Verse number two, Psalm 123, behold as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. God is wakeful. He's awake. We need to be watchful. We need to look to him. Two simple points. Let me develop the first one. God is wakeful. Psalm 121, verse number 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You know, there's a truckload of encouragement in that verse. The one that keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleeps. He's wide awake. He's fully aware. He knows everything that's happening today. He's fully observant. He is not taken by surprise. God is wakeful. You notice the verse says, he that keepeth Israel. But you know, when you read the verses around that, you'll find out that God not only keeps Israel, but God keeps his people. He keeps us too. You see, he keepeth. The word keepeth means, has the idea of he preserves. He's the keeper of his people. Isn't that wonderful? God is the keeper of his people. And that leads me to say this morning, God makes his people a keeper. I mean, we're a keeper. Isn't that good? God makes us a keeper. I'll tell you one thing, he didn't have a whole lot to work with when he got a hold of us, did he? I say us collectively. Because I think, I'm talking pretty honest, when I say every single one of you folks that are looking this way right now, which is all of you, you know as well as I know that when God saved you, he didn't have a whole lot to work with. We don't deserve his mercy, do we? But thank God he still made us a keeper. He still said, I believe I'll keep them. Why? Because he invested so much in our salvation, you know good and well he's going to keep us. As a shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep keeps his flock, protects them from the dangers all around. We are in the keeping of the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. There's enough theological rubies in that statement there, if you follow it out, to crank us all up, to challenge us all, and to stir us up like we've never been stirred before. Do you realize this morning we're kept by the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd? That says a lot. As a good shepherd, we're secured by what he's done. He died for the sheep. As the great shepherd, we're sustained by what he is doing. He lives for the sheep. As the chief shepherd, we are satisfied in what he will do because he will appear and our future is secure. He's coming back. He's going to return. He went up, my friend, he's coming back down. He ascended from the Mount of Olives and he said, why stand ye gazing up? And then you know how the verse goes. He'll descend just like he went. But he's coming for the church even before that happens. Thank God. He's the keeper. And all of the insecurities of this world will not override the security that we have in Jesus Christ. You can take every insecurity that you can think about, that you can find, you can lump them together, and none of those insecurities will ever override the security that the child of God has in Jesus Christ. We may wind up with foul governments. We may get the wrong president. We may get the wrong Congress. We may get the wrong Senate. We may get the wrong political system, but thank God we have the right God. He is in control. He is in charge. He still will never be overrun, and heaven is still going to be heaven, and security is still going to be security, and eternal life is still eternal life. Malachi 3:17. The Bible says this, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I'll spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." You see, he keeps his own as a king keeps his jewels. Now that's security. And what a price he paid to make up those jewels. What a price he paid. That price involved the blackout at Calvary, when the weight of all of our sins, the sins of the world, rested upon the blessed Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, as he was judged in sinner's stead. And as he sensed the separation from his Father, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But thank God, the sufficient payment for our sin was certified. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So I'll tell you, the great certifying of it all took place with that empty tomb. When Jesus arose, thank God it said paid in full. It said the sin debt has been paid. It said the precious blood did exactly what the Old Testament types said it would do. Jesus arose. That empty tomb certifies what he did was good. What he did was complete. That empty tomb proves a great transaction was complete. Now, come back to the point here. This great keeper never slumbers nor sleeps. Never slumbers nor sleeps. He had his eyes on his own. We can say today that those eyes that closed on the cross and opened on resurrection morning, watch over his own. He keeps his eyes on us and his thoughts towards us. You know what? Well, think about what I just said. Not only is God's eyes on his people, but God's thoughts are on his people. I believe there's not a moment of the day but what God isn't thinking about us. Now, I put that in a homely, earthly, human statement. There's not a moment of the day but what God doesn't think about us. And I'll go so far as to put it like this. I believe there's not a moment of the day but what God doesn't think about us individually. Now, I know that he thinks about the church collectively, but he thinks about every one of you and me that know him. His thoughts are upon us. You know what? There's not a person today on planet Earth that can say that anybody thinks about them all the time. Because there are sometimes our minds get on other things. And also too, we can truthfully say today, the President of the United States doesn't personally know any one of us, does he? And that's a pretty high position. But do you realize there's one in a higher position than him? Who thinks about us every day. Who thinks about us all the time. I mean, imagine that. And you're probably wondering where my proof text is, aren't you? Well, here it comes. "But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me. I'd rather have God's thoughts than anybody I know, wouldn't you? He's thinking about us. Sometimes people would make that statement. I remember years ago, back in my teenage years, back in my dating days. Finally, I went on a permanent date, and that's with this lady right here. Little old teenage girl I date, she said, "Penny for your thoughts." Y'all have heard that before. Penny for your thoughts. There's different ways of taking that. You mean a person's thoughts aren't worth more than a penny? Pretty cheap, isn't it? But you know what, though? There's far more than a penny involved in God's thoughts about us. What about, well, how could you put that? His thoughts are towards all of us, but they're valuable. I see their value in the cross. I see their value in the Lord's sacrifice. I see their value in the blood. I see God's thoughts, the value in the provision that God has made. He invested so much in every one of us. Naturally, He's going to think about us because after all, His Son was involved. So what am I saying today? God is wakeful. Secondly, we're to be watchful. Psalm 123, verse number 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look on the hands of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait, here it is, upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy on us. We look north from here, we find reasons for distress. But it's a work of God's sovereign grace to look up. I mean, that's a work of grace. I can't honestly tell you I've always looked up. I couldn't look up because there was a time in my life I couldn't look up spiritually. Because I was looking at a blank heaven. Because I didn't know God. But it's a sovereign grace. You know, it's the nature of fallen man to look down and around. That's nature. Man is so inundated by the affairs of life and obsessed with material things, which will mean nothing to eternity. The world is blinded by sin and unconscious of the threat that hovers above and around the unsaved people. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness like a hovering cloud. If unsaved people only knew, they're milling around under the cloud of God's impending wrath. Any moment, they could lose their soul forever. They're not only on one banana peeling, they're on a constant banana peeling. Their feet could slide and they could find themselves in hell at any moment. God's wrath, like a hovering cloud, is suspended above the unsaved people. And oh, how people need the Lord. Oh, how people need Christ. Oh, how people need the peace that only God gives in a world that's so unsettling. Now, you know, this reminds me of an illustration that you find out in the woods. Some of us have been out in the woods lately. I for one. I've been out in the woods, and you probably know why. No, I haven't been out in the woods collecting leaves either. I've been out in the woods deer hunting because I love it. I love it. It's my hobby. I enjoy sitting out and waiting and just having a good time, you know, in the woods. But you know, there's something that we're allowed to do in this state. You can't do it all states, but we do it. We bait deer. We put corn out or apples or whatever. And deer, since, you know, they're controlled by appetites, they get hungry. I can't get in the mind of a deer, but usually I'm thinking something like this. In the morning early, they're saying to themselves, and the old buck will say to the doe, Mrs., Madam, we need to eat today. And I just happen to remember, there's a corn pile down in the bottom. And so how about you and I just trotting up to that corn pile and eat, and then about the middle of the day, we'll just lay down and we'll sleep. And then we'll start talking food again just before it gets dark, about an hour before dark, and that's usually how it is. And so what they do, they'll step out on that corn pile. And you see, they come to the corn pile to eat. But their failure to look up results in someone eating them. That's how it works. They come out with their heads down. Of course, no, I wouldn't say that. They come out on full alert. But when they drop their head and start eating, and you got a hunter sitting in a stand, that spells nothing but trouble. As a general rule, unless the man's off, can't half shoot, or the gun misfires, or whatever the case might be, and all kinds of variables can happen, especially when you're using muzzle loaders, like we found out this past week. My gun failed to misfire, sounded like, looked like a bottle rocket, filled the woods with smoke, and the buck just trots on off like, what was that? What was that? Then my son shot, hit one, never found it. So I'm just saying those things happen, but you don't need to hear that. I don't want to bore you with that. I'm just making a point here. They come out, they eat, they don't look up, and they get shot. Now, life is a whole lot like that when it comes to the matter of people in general. Without God, they don't look up. They're not aware of their doom. They're not aware of their fate. They're not aware that it's dangerous. They're not aware that they could get shot. I mean, seriously, take that and apply it. Unsaved people every single day live without looking up, without realizing whom they're going to one day face, without recognizing that they are going to have to stand before the God that they deny and denounce and refuse. You know, it used to be said that all roads lead to Rome. Well, I can go a step higher. All roads is going to eventually lead to the throne. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to God. And I would much rather face my Lord at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer than face Him at the great white throne as an unbeliever. We're better off looking up before it's too late. Looking up before it's too late. You know, we look here at this verse of Scripture, and it's kind of interesting. It says, the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters. Look at this. The eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He hath mercy upon us. The eyes of the servants. Now here we have an oriental setting. Here we have a biblical setting. The eyes of the servant, the oriental slaves, would look to the motions of their master's hands to indicate action toward them. In the Orient, the master would simply maybe wave his hand a certain way, and that displayed a message. He didn't have to say anything. He simply waved his hand, moved his hand, or whatever the case might be, and with a hand motion, he indicated action towards the servant. And the servant knew that. The servant knew the body language. And the servant knew what to expect. Now bring this into bearing on where we are today as we look at this verse. The servant would look upon the master's hand for direction. And I believe that we, our eyes, are to wait upon the Lord for His direction. Our eyes are to wait upon Him. The political escapade going on today has us all greatly concerned about the direction of this country that we love. That's a given. But I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Isn't that wonderful? When the prophet experienced the loss of the king, and undoubtedly the king and the prophet must have been somewhat close to the point to where it caused him to be distraught. But when Uzziah died, the prophet looks up and he sees the Lord high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. So he was compensated not by the fact of not having the king, he was compensated by the fact that God was still ruling. Amen. He was compensated by the fact that he looked with a broken heart at a casket, but he looked with delight and hope at a throne in heaven that was occupied. We can be confident this morning. Dr. Martin has said this many, many times. We can be confident that the tomb is empty, but the throne is occupied. And furthermore, that the king is coming to establish a rule that will never be tarnished by human crookedness or greed. Our eyes are to wait upon the Lord. Too many of God's people today are practicing atheists. That's a hard statement, but I think I can prove it. There's not a one of us today in this service that would say, that would be so foolish as to say there is no God. Not one of us. We wouldn't be here if we were atheists. You wouldn't be watching Facebook or YouTube if you were atheists. As a general rule anyway. None of us would be so ridiculous as to say there is no God. But do you know there's such a thing as practical atheism? We say there is no God, but we live and act like God doesn't exist. We do that all the time. I see Christians pushing panic buttons. I see Christians totally distraught and taken down by things that happen, like this past week. Sure, now I'll be quick to say today that I was greatly bothered. Well, rightly so. We're all bothered. We love our country. But guess what? We're citizens of a greater country. And we've got to always remember that, don't we? We've got to, we can't be practicing it. We cannot allow ourselves to live like God doesn't exist. I mean, after all, don't you think that the eternal God knew even before he created planet Earth, and even before Columbus came to our shores, and even before we had the founding of our country, even before the founders put together our Constitution, even before the Bill of Rights was drawn up, even before the presidents began to come and go, even before we had a Congress or Senate or the position of president, don't we realize that God knew because he's omniscient? He knew the day was coming in America that you and I would be having this conversation because of what has happened in the politics of our country. God knew about it long before you and I even discovered America. But guess what? We still have got to keep believing God. We got saved by believing God, by trusting the work of Christ upon the cross, and we've got to, every single day of our life, we've got to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I still trust you. I can't figure it out, but I can still trust you. And there's one thing a little history will prove to us. God's never failed us anyway. He never will. His promises are still good. And there is no, and here's a point we must always keep in mind, there are no human governments established but what God doesn't permit. But what God doesn't permit. He raises up and puts down whom he please, whom he will. We may get what we don't want because sometimes we don't think and we don't act accordingly. So basically there are consequences. I suspicion that this country, if it goes like it's looking, this country, multitudes of people are going to regret the day they didn't think through what they did. Laying aside the fact of the crooked polling system, that's another point. But when it is a shame that we have to learn when it's too late. Shame, isn't it? But still yet, you and I, on different turf, marching to different drumbeat. We're still saved. We still have hope. We still are going to a better country. We still have a better citizenship. The tomb is empty. The throne is occupied. And God is in total control. Amen. We need to spend less time trying to figure things out and more time having our eyes waiting upon Him. We can't always trace the hand of God, but we can always trust the heart of God. It seems that waiting upon God is becoming increasingly harder in the secular world, but deep-rooted joy will only come when we take it face value and apply the words of verse 1 of Psalm 121, which is my final point. Verse 1, Psalm 121, we need to apply this. Verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. And I've got to volunteer and read verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I challenge this church. I challenge the viewers out there that are watching Facebook, YouTube, social media. I challenge all of you out there to stay focused. Remember who you are and remember who you know. And realize today God has not budged an inch. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And American politics will never change it. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer today. I pray that you see fit to use this message to encourage your people. My church, first of all, the people that are here, those associated with this church that are out today because of COVID and still feel uncomfortable being here, bless all of those watching by YouTube, by Facebook. Father, I pray today for those that could be in this service and those that could be watching that has never yet realized they're like a deer on a corn pile, failing to look up and acknowledge God could be a fatal mistake. And I pray today, Heavenly Father, that lost people will call upon the Lord in salvation and ask Him to save them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And may your people today no longer be practicing atheists, but walk with God daily. Trust Him daily. And do what the Bible says. I will lift mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God help us today to do that. This could be a good day as we have an invitation for your people in this church service who's been distraught, cast down, confused, upset. Maybe they just need to have an altar revival. Maybe they just need to come to this altar and pray and say, oh God, help me to learn to look up more instead of looking around. And there are folks that just need to come and pray. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. First of all, are you here in this service and are not a Christian? I urge you to get saved. If you're here and you're not a Christian, would you slip your hand up and say, I need Christ? Anyone in this service? How many of God's people in His service today would be willing to say, preacher, I've been saved many years, but I will admit I've been taken down, distraught, confused, discouraged by things going on. But I realize this more than ever. I need to lift mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And pastor, would you just pray for me today? God spoke to my heart. Just remember me in prayer. Could I see your hands, please? Yes, I see those hands, others. God bless each of you. Yes, amen. We're going to have an invitation song. If any of you want to come and pray, you do so as we have this song. Father, bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike, what's the song?
It's number